Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Carl Tannenbaum is the chief economist of Northern Trust. He joins me now to talk a little bit more about the market. The market's going a little bit crazy and unemployment. Carl, it's so nice to talk to you again. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Excellent. So the market is not liking today's news, and I'm not sure what it is that it's not liking, whether it's not liking the fact that there's a new coronavirus forecast predicting over 400,000 deaths by January 1st. That's sort of scary. Or just the fact that, I don't know, our biggest tech companies may be slightly overbought, or it should like, I would think, the unemployment number, but maybe not. So let's start there. What's your take on today's unemployment figures?
Well, first of all, I would tell you that I've lost most of my hair trying to reconcile what goes on in the markets with what goes on in the economy. But let me see if I can make the attempt this morning. So certainly we are seeing an economic recovery that has been evidenced in improvement from a very bad position in the job market. The unemployment rate that we got this morning was a lot lower than most people expected, and I'm not sure that we're going to be able to keep it down there because of some seasonal things that were going on as well as some measurement challenges faced by the Labor Department. But things are getting better. We've probably gotten back about half the jobs that we lost earlier this year because of the pandemic, but that also means that we have some distance to travel. So I would say that the job market in our country is better, but still not entirely healthy. Now, the stock market is, you know, obviously surged to record levels despite a fairly slow economic recovery. And as you pointed out, a lot of the leadership came from tech companies who all of a sudden are under renewed scrutiny just in the last handful of trading days. It's hard to identify what the trigger has been for that. I'm not sure it's as much of a change in the economic outlook as it has been some of the regulation that's been proposed around the top tech companies. They're attracting a lot of attention, both here in the United States and in Europe, for their practices around privacy and securing data. And, you know, there's also some concern about their exclusion of competitors and these sorts of things. Clearly, tech companies are going to be at the center of the renewed rivalry between the United States and China, which is getting worse before it gets better. And so I think investors at some point decided to take a hard look at the valuations and felt a little less comfortable.
I want to go back to some things that you said about the unemployment rate. So one of the things that struck me as I was looking at the numbers yesterday is the 881,000 or 883,000 jobs that were gained. I think that was the gained. Anyway, it was when I look at that number, sorry, that was the number lost. That reflected a change in how those numbers are collected, and there seems to have been a big shift, and yet they said if it had been looked at the old way, that number for the unemployment rate yesterday, the unemployment first-time claims would have been over a million again, as opposed to 883,000. You know, can you explain a little bit more to all of us about why there's been this shift in how they collect this information? Because it makes comparisons going backwards unfair a bit, I think.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And we just wrote an article that's out in our weekly commentary that talks about how hard it's been to measure the economy during the pandemic. And the initial claims for unemployment insurance has been one of the key metrics. Firstly, just getting the data from the state offices has been difficult, as a lot of the administrators of the program have been completely overwhelmed. So data has come in late. It's coming in completely. Some states forward data every other week. And so getting a time trend has been really hard. Secondly, like a lot of economic statistics, that series is seasonally adjusted. And needless to say, 2020 has not been a typical year. And so the unadjusted versus the adjusted figures have been all over the map. The way I would try and rationalize it for our listeners is we still have about 28 million Americans that are drawing unemployment insurance benefits from one program or another, the standard ones plus the new ones for the self-employed that were part of the CARES Act in the spring. That is a very large number, and it's only been coming down very slowly. And so it's hard to, you know, exactly do the math between the those who are getting jobless benefits and the unemployment rate. But again, I think it just goes back to we still have some work to do in order to get anywhere close to the strong job market that we enjoyed before COVID-19 became a household term.
I think that's a really clear way of explaining it. One other question is, earlier in the show, we had Dr. Lawrence Yunon from the National Association of Realtors, and he said basically we're only 10 million jobs away from full employment. And that number doesn't seem to work for me if you're telling me there's 28 million Americans who are unemployed between full-time unemployment and the part-time or the freelance contractors, which are an increasing part of our employment picture. You know, how do we reconcile those two numbers?
That's a full-time job, and
well,
I would note
that it, Carl.
it's really quite something to say that we are only 10 million jobs away from full employment. That's like saying that, you know, here in Chicago we're only 250 miles away from Detroit. I mean, it's a long distance to go. And the other thing that was evident this morning is that a lot more people these days are reporting themselves as being permanently displaced, as opposed to the spring where they were saying that it was only temporary, which also means that it's going to be harder to get all of those folks back to work, especially if they're in industries like hospitality, which will take a very long time to come back, even after a vaccine is perfected and implemented.
I think the airlines and travel industry has been a little bit surprised about not only our business travelers not coming back, but the reticence of everybody to sort of get on a plane and go somewhere. And I honestly can't even keep track anymore of the number of emails I get from Delta, American, United, and Southwest reminding me just how clean their planes are. Do you see that either business travel or leisure travel is coming back anytime soon? Because with the layoffs that all of the airlines have now announced, it feels like they don't think it's coming back anytime soon.
Well, I'll tell you, I have not taken a flight in 6 months, and that's very unusual for me, given that I work for Northern Trust, which is a global company. I will say this, that there is a bit of pent-up demand for travel, so as safety gets more clear in people's minds, I do think there are a bunch of trips that people are going to want to take, but I think it's going to be a very gradual recovery. I also think that the pandemic is teaching a number of businesses that they can do business remotely, virtually, in a manner that's either as effective or almost as effective as being there in person. And because of the cost savings that represents, I think business travel may never be exactly as it was before the pandemic.
Like you, I'm on a plane all the time. I don't really miss that. That's an exhausting thing to kind of be on and off planes. Much as I like, you know, the airports, the fact that I know where to eat in most of the major cities at the airport is a little scary. I'm sure you feel the same way about that. You have your, like, places to go, and you know where all of the lounges are and things like that. But what about all the other businesses that depend on it? I heard today in Chicago, for example, that they're shutting down Navy Pier because simply nobody is going. And that represents a lot of jobs and income lost to the cities as well. Maybe talk a little bit about sort of city income and county income, not just in Chicago, but nationwide, because that is going to be a problem for employment.
Business meetings and tourism have been a boon for the Chicago economy. It's one of the things I think that has separated Chicago from so many other Midwestern cities that have struggled to move beyond their industrial past. You know, we've got McCormick Place, which I still think has, you know, it's in the top five of space under roof for the large shows. And I think that those kinds of convention meetings and business shows are also going to be under a microscope in the new environment. That means that the Uber drivers, the hotels, the restaurants, the attractions, the sporting events, I mean, those are a lot of the things that really rely on people coming in for visits. And if they're not doing so at the same pace, the ripple effects across our city and our economy are going to be substantial.
Yeah, they really are. Well, Carl, thank you so much for being with us today. Carl Tanenbaum is Chief Economist of Northern Trust. I hope you're enjoying your summer at home. I know I have.
I hope you are, and best to all of our listeners. Stay safe and stay well.
Thank you.